Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
What is going on, everybody? I'm Julian Dujarric, here recapping another episode of House of Cards on AfterBuzz TV.
Yeah, we're doing House of Cards.
Yeah, sorry. Saved me for a second there. Chapter 37 and 38. I am, like I said, Julian Dujarric. You can follow me at Julian Dujarric across the board on social media. My lovely co-hosts are here.
Hi, everybody. I'm Pegarad. You can follow me on Twitter at Pegarad.
And my name is Quinn Skillian. You can follow me on Twitter at Quinn Skillian. Hi, guys.
Before we begin, please, if you're listening to us on iTunes, don't forget to look us up on YouTube and subscribe. Hit that subscribe button and like and share and follow and do all that good stuff. So
I like how long the music lasted.
I know. It was good.
We're really getting into the mood.
It really carried me through this intro that I was very nervous about.
You did a good job. Thank you.
So crazy two episodes.
Yes.
Thoughts.
Oh my gosh.
Initial thoughts. Let's do this. Yeah. Let's do one word to describe these two episodes. I'll start.
One word?
For both episodes?
Okay.
Yeah, why not? Okay. Just your general feeling about these two episodes
sure.
in one word.
Go ahead.
I will start with...
Is that a word?
It's a noise, but I'll make it a word
okay.
today.
Okay. That passes. Put that one
My
in the
word would be tangled.
Okay. I like
tangled.
That. Tangled.
My word... I don't have a word, but I have like a feeling that like, you know, we finally are kind of getting to see... what we've been waiting for all season.
No, you must have a word. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
Resolutionary.
Yeah, resolutionary. I agree with you.
We're getting there. I think we're there.
We're there with a lot of different aspects of the story, of the plot. The plot branches are kind of, they're blooming now.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So let's start with the first episode.
It's the big debate.
We're focused on that.
Yeah.
A lot has happened in this debate. Any standout moments for you during this episode?
For me, I was the most concerned about Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know which way she was going to go. For a second, I thought, okay, she's going to backstab Frank. And then I was like, okay, maybe she is on Frank's side. I just didn't know up until the point where she actually did say that... she attacked Dunbar on the private school issue.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I was like, okay, she's in, you know? But the entire time leading up to it, I wasn't really sure. She met up with Dunbar at that gas station or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, what do you have for me to offer? And she's like, I'm not offering you anything. And
which Jackie was like, I actually respected that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? She wasn't willing to give anything up until she knew that she had locked it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was, you know, I just feel like all season, with both Remy and Jackie, we've been seeing them waver with their, in terms of their commitment to Frank.
Mm-hmm.
And
Absolutely.
So, I mean, it didn't surprise me kind of how this whole, I mean, Jackie's been on the edge this entire time. We've never once seen, I don't think we've seen Jackie sure about anything all season.
Yeah.
She's been like kind of a little bit of like a, you know, this worry wart kind of. And so this whole thing and like letting Frank kind of bully her into doing what she did during the debate, like it just felt, I think I was just waiting for the other shoe to drop because I just never thought that Jackie was going to, you know, I just kind of knew that Jackie was never completely comfortable being on Frank's ticket. Yeah.
So let's. I'm interested in breaking that down a little bit. What do you think changed? Why is that? I have a couple of theories, but I want to get your thoughts maybe on why do you think that is now?
Well, the whole thing with having to call Dunbar a sexist, mm-hmm. and like how viciously she attacked that when like yeah. that's never really really been the case. And mm-hmm. I think that like with all the heat that Frank and Jackie were throwing at Dunbar during the debate, like, you know, she took it really well. Mm-hmm. I mean, she pretty much got, like, you know, scalded and she was still, you know, she still reacted, you know, kind of, you know, really smartly.
Yeah, so. Dunbar could really hold her own.
Yeah,
I mean,
for sure.
I thought for sure that she was going to crumble, but she just proved that she just kind of bounces back.
I mean, yeah. there was a TV clip where they were talking about during the debate how both Jackie and Dunbar were kind of scrambling a little bit, and that like Frank was the one who remained presidential and everything. But I actually thought that Dunbar, you know, she for me came out on top just because she had to take so much heat.
Yeah, she exuded in those moments. She exuded presidential tendencies for sure, characteristics. I think the fact that now we're at a point where, you know, a lot is on the line, she kind of, you know, got her cojones, intestinal fortitude, or
right.
you know, the
don't be
symbolic,
sexist.
Symbolic cojones, and she pulled it through, so I was happy to see that. What did we think of the actual debate, though? Because I thought, I'm with you. Well, I'm with you guys. I thought it was going to go one way,
mm-hmm.
and I had the same reaction that Frank did.
Yeah,
you were shocked that Jackie did.
Yeah, yeah, that Jackie went
but
through.
But she came off looking terrible. I mean,
she did.
You know, with everything that she was throwing at Dunbar, and then when you know Frank had to come at Jackie a little bit, or else it would have been super suspicious mm-hmm. when she had dropped out and gotten on his ticket. So
right.
like, he couldn't have let her get away scot-free.
Right.
So I understand why he had to bring up the private schooling to her, too.
See,
she couldn't say, she couldn't even respond. She was like, that's all I have to say on the subject.
I feel like he could have brought up some other issue
you might
instead
of
that.
That
was a low
they had,
blow.
And because they said earlier, what would you say if that was it? And, like, she basically was going to have to, like, denounce Alan's kids as her mm-hmm. kids. Like, she was going to have to be like, well, they're not my kids, they're Alan's kids.
Yeah, like, grill her on her economic policy mm-hmm. or something. Don't. I mean, it was just a low blow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
sure.
especially because they had that conversation, and that was a point of, like, that was a big point of concern for her. And I agree. I think there's so many other things, that you could have called her out on. I don't know that was necessarily the thing that would allow you to, you know, make for, it's just, if you want her to be on your ticket, I don't know that it'll harbor resentment.
Right.
You know, so I don't know. I don't know about
that. It's public humiliation. It's like you can't
I get
really
it. It's politics,
back.
But
yeah.
It was a little humiliating for me.
For sure.
And interesting, I was just looking at, I wrote down some of their opening remarks mm-hmm. here, and pretty much throughout the debate, Dunbar kept referring to Frank as delusional.
Right.
You know what I mean? She really doesn't want this guy to be president.
Well, no, she doesn't. And she has made that abundantly clear throughout the season, and it all came to a head during the debate, as it should.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I think was really great is the moments that Dunbar didn't speak.
Mm-hmm,
And that's
mm-hmm.
a credit to the actress whose name escapes me right now. Comment below with the name of the actress, please.
No, they will.
Yeah, they probably will. Thank you. We appreciate all your comments. I just feel like the nuances in her performance were what made this episode very special for me with regards to her character. What do you guys think?
Well, I've been a Dunbar fan from the beginning. I think just she's kind of proven to be, you know, extremely level-headed, and that's why a lot of the drama with her has come from, is she going to, you know, is she going to kind of play dirty, or is she going to keep it clean? And mm-hmm. I think that's, you know, a huge testament to her as a character.
I've always been a fan of her, just mm-hmm. like you. Yeah. She's always level playing field. She didn't never, until later on, she never really wanted to do anything shady.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think now that, like, I mean, this is more next episode, but now with, like, it's so close to her grasp. She's,
feeling the power.
Exactly. She is.
It's the allure of power.
Yeah, it
totally.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm coughing, I'm laughing because during Jackie's opening remarks, I thought it was funny just kind of cinematically that they had like a bunch of people in the audience coughing. Like, I mean, she had 14% in the polls. Like, nobody was taking this woman seriously anyway.
All right. Well, any other standout moments from the debate? Anything that you think?
Well, just the debate. So Frank wanted to drill the fact that Dunbar has no experience.
Mm-hmm. And which is probably his only, you know, it's his strongest argument against her, I think.
Sure. It is. But, I mean, she has 20 years of constitutional, you know, she protected the Constitution for 20 years. I mean, that's a lot of experience. Like, it's not. A lot of people running for president don't have experience running for president.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, so, I mean, it's. I mean, you're absolutely right. Yeah. I also don't care. But, like, I'm just saying, like, in terms of, like, he needs something.
He needs something, yeah.
And also, no one really. We talk about presidential experience and people who qualify for the presidency. I mean, no one has presidential experience unless you've been the president of the United States.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
that point is moot. But
and he's been it for such a short period of time.
Yeah, like how much more presidential experience? Like, okay, you've done this for a very short period of time. Yeah, you're right. So like you are going to hold this over me, like,
right?
No.
But she quickly throws in, okay, well you're going to try to take away retirement funds and FEMA funds. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not what you would call experience. This is horrible experience and horrible vision, she calls it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think is really interesting is that all three candidates were going off script and off topic, which shows that every single one of them wasn't in complete control here.
Oh, yeah.
Because they couldn't just answer the question. They kept having to be like, let me respond mm-hmm. to that. So, I mean, like, nobody was, you know, completely ready for this,
no.
I think. And that shows you, you know, really level playing field. I mean, especially where Frank and Heather are concerned.
For sure. One last thing I want to talk about with regards to the debate was you and I, Pega, we talked about this before we went on air. The fact that Frank was called out on his dodging when he was asked that question. What did you think of that moment? I thought that was such a great moment for Dunbar.
It was. I mean, because he got asked about the Jordan Valley thing, and he quickly was like, well, before I answer that, let me go back to Amworks. And she put him in his place. She's like, look at you. You can't even stick to the topic at hand. Why would we want a leader who's all over the place? And that was a great point. I mean, he really has been kind of erratic with, like, his...
Yeah. I mean, how many times all season have we, you know, have you written down, like, Frank avoids question? Frank avoids... Like, at every single press conference.
Tom Yates,
you know what I mean?
For sure.
Yeah. So... You know,
I thought that was a great point for her to get through.
For sure. Yeah. Points for her.
Yeah. So, I also thought it was interesting that both Frank and Claire, while she was in New Hampshire, are really turning on, like, this Southern charm. Like, you know, Claire's from Texas, but we never would know.
Yeah.
And she starts saying, y'all, and he starts using these kind of, like, idioms and stuff like that. And it's just really interesting that they kind of turn that up, you know, around.
Claire, I feel like, remains herself in a very neutral place, which some may argue is not being yourself. So it was very interesting to see her kind of put that on.
Did you guys notice that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I mean, it's great that you brought that up because Claire endeared herself to me this time around with that little.
What I thought was a low blow, though.
Both episodes I've liked Claire more than I have earlier in the season.
Yeah, well, we saw her definitely more cheery than we have, like with her, you know, when she's like in front of the crowd and she's doing like the campaign work. We hardly see her with that charisma and like enthusiasm. She's normally just very poised and like
she never looks happy to be anywhere.
But like when she's in front of the crowd, she's like, "Hi, everybody!" You know, it was just cool to see her.
I know, because I mean, like, unfortunately, and like I know she hates this, but like she's in her element a little bit, and she, you know, she wanted the ambassadorship to be her element, but it wasn't really.
Yeah, and that was a low blow that Dunbar threw about. She's like, "Do you want to talk about no experience? How about your wife being ambassador?
Yeah.
She had no experience." And I was like, "Oh."
And then Jackie tries to say, "If it was a husband, blah blah blah."
Yeah.
And I was like, "No. If it was the other way around, I would still question why you would appoint someone with no experience."
Well, speaking of ladies, speaking of more women, the missing lady is what I'm calling her because
Rachel.
Rachel. This whole Rachel dynamic now. What are your thoughts on that?
I first of all can't believe that Doug was so quick to believe that she was dead. I just can't believe that. I mean, with that, you know, that picture with no distinguishable features at all.
Yeah.
And it was like all of a sudden this huge surprise that she wasn't dead.
I never bought it.
Me either.
I don't think
any of us bought it. We talked about this in the past.
I was just surprised because Doug, of anybody, would want her to be alive and wouldn't want to accept that so fast.
Well, the fact that he's still sitting there months later, and he's still watching that camera. And then all of his cell phones turn on, which, like, how many cell phones does this guy have? But they all turn on, and it's Gavin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's saying that, yeah, he did lie. Rachel's still around. He knows exactly where she is and only lied because he wanted the passport lock lifted, which was kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, I would have probably done the same thing. If he has you by the balls in that way, you want to release his grip.
Right.
Let me go. I thought that was a smart play on his part for sure.
Yeah, and he's blackmailing Doug because he wants to get the same deal for a friend. Have we seen this friend before? That popped up on the screen.
You know what? I don't know, but
comment below.
Please tell us.
So I thought that was really, really interesting, and it was weird because we start seeing Doug run out the door, and I wasn't sure, you know, he like heard that she was alive. I thought he was gonna really run to Santa Fe, and then later on he's talking to his brother about it and says like, I almost went for a drink, and I was like, did you almost go for a drink, or is that a lie?
I mean, he's an alcoholic, so
I know, but I wasn't sure if like by drink he meant Rachel. Are we using those words interchangeably now?
Like,
I don't know.
I mean, yeah, he's addicted to both.
A drink or Rachel.
Yeah.
Never going to happen, dude.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So what I think was interesting, and I'm just going to touch on it a little bit because I believe in the next episode, was that revelation drove him to do something that I did not expect him to do. I mean, that cane came in handy, let's just say.
Yes. I don't know. Is that in episode 12? Well, I'm getting them all blended now.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Never mind. I think that might be further on. Okay. We'll get there. Tom Yates. Let's talk about him real quick. How he's spending time with Claire, trying to get more information from her. He's still trying to write this book.
And she's being elusive.
And yeah, she's really shutting him out. And he's like, can I at least ride with you in the car? She's like, I need to make some phone calls. Like, no, you know?
Yeah.
But he finally gets time when she's giving blood.
Which isn't that interesting. She's pouring her heart out, you know?
Right. Exactly. And
cheers to that. That was great.
That was really good.
Well, okay. I can't cheers you because Tom goes, you're literally bleeding. Right? And he even said something about it. He said, you are literally giving blood. I thought that was really, really great. But
as she's getting weaker, and she brings up the fact that every 7 years she asks herself, you know, she stands at the edge of a bridge. Is this the time to jump?
Mm-hmm.
And that was just like, whoa, totally eye-opening about how she views her relationship with Frank.
Yeah.
Yeah, that she's a little bit in limbo. And I don't want to skip all the way to the end, but I'm going to right now because we're talking about it. At the end, she's reading with the kids, and he comes to see her, and she's, you know, she's talking to the kids, and, like, you know, they're all going like this, and she's saying, what do I do? What do I do? I don't do anything? And that's how it ends. And I'm like, she's still in limbo.
Yeah.
She's still not moving.
It's just, it's so, I'm on an emotional roller coaster with these two. Like, their relationship is what I feel like their relationship should be.
Mm-hmm.
A model relationship because they're two very smart people, very ambitious, very supportive of one another, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's imploding. It's everything that I would hate to have in a relationship.
Do you guys ever feel like Claire needs much more from Frank than Frank needs from Claire?
I think Frank needs very little from Claire, honestly.
Do you?
I think Frank is just so insular in his thinking, and it's all about... He's a narcissist. I mean,
I think maybe Claire needs Frank maybe more literally, and maybe Frank needs Claire in like a more kind of like figurative kind of spiritual way.
I don't know that it's even though. I mean, that's just my opinion. I don't know.
I mean, so are you guys saying you question their love for each other?
No, but I do question, like, you know, I think Claire's happiness relies more in Frank than Frank's happiness. Like let me put it this way. Frank's happiness lies with his quest for power.
Mm-hmm.
Claire enables that quest. So in that way,
sure.
Claire makes Frank happy. But I think, I don't necessarily know if Claire is so power hungry that's the only reason why she herself needs Frank. I think maybe she maybe needs Frank in even like a more primal, like marital wife kind of way.
I think it's interesting because just this season
we've seen Claire. I mean, Frank is obviously very reserved emotionally, so we wouldn't see this, but like on Claire's face all the time, she's been like missing something.
I just feel like she wants to be able to be known for something on her own without Frank. Yeah. Like, she wants to be able to say, I worked for this and I did this. And, like, this, the UN thing was, like, a perfect example. I mean, she wanted that so badly. Yeah. And the fact that it was just, like, ripped out from her because of Frank. And she's starting to resent these things little by little. And she has nothing to show for herself. She has Frank to show. And I don't know.
Okay, so in that regard, maybe
that's one of the reasons why she doesn't want to do the book with Tom, because she doesn't want to be attached to Frank in that way. Like, you know, it's so permanent, you know.
Yeah. I think...
writing something down in, you know, in a book.
Yeah, it's forever.
It is forever. I think the reason why... we may feel, or I'll just speak for myself, the reason why I feel as though it's uneven is because she doesn't have anything to show for herself. And because Frank represents her entire world, I think that's why, for the most part, that's why that feeling is there. I don't think if Frank were in the picture, she would have much trouble attaining power or success. I don't know that she needs Frank for that. I just think she thinks that she needs him.
Like, her goals take a backseat to his.
Yeah, and I think once or if...
So, like, he inhibits her?
I think so. And I think she will realize that, or once she does realize that, watch out.
Yeah. What did you guys think of that crazy close up while she was? I don't think we've ever seen a shot like that on the show.
Yeah, I don't think I have either.
She was giving blood, and it's while she's talking. And I mean, the camera was like, it was right there. You could see everything.
Yeah, I was super impressed by it.
We don't get to see into. I mean, she's bleeding. We're looking at her. We're seeing her makeup. We're seeing everything. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like the most exposed.
I love the way that the camera showed the blood, like going through the the blood just going through the tube. Slowly.
Comment and just like, below. Any doctors any that are pre-med, watching. Any pre-med students.
She's pouring herself out. Yeah, like this is her true, I guess.
It's very symbolic, but
it was also like what she said left a lot of room for interpretation. It wasn't cut and dry, as it were.
All right, well, any other standouts from this episode? Any other standout moments that you'd like to touch upon?
Jackie announced her resignation and decides to support Dunbar.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Low blow, man.
And then Remy leaves as well.
Let's talk about Jackie a little bit, because I thought that was super, super impactful.
I mean, of course. I saw that coming a mile away. Did you not?
Did you?
Yes.
It surprised me.
Like I said, she's been wavering all season.
Yeah.
She never once felt secure with what she was doing with this whole deal with Frank. And right when she said, I'm going to support Dunbar, I was just like, yeah, you better.
Okay. Because I just thought the debate... And I understand.
After the debate, you would think one thing.
Yeah,
and I think
guess,
that was our little bait and switch that they did.
Even with Frank kind of calling her out and in the way that he did, I still didn't see that coming.
Mm-hmm.
I still didn't see her going to the other side.
Well, there was a time. I mean, pretty much at the beginning of the episode, they got into a fight. I mean, like they literally. This was this episode, right? They got into Frank actually yells at her.
Yeah, right, this is this episode. Yeah. She comes in and she's like, you humiliated me. Mm-hmm. And he snapped.
Yeah.
Oh, she's not comfortable with the leash that she's on. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, well,
yeah, and he's
this
basically
is what you
like,
signed up for. Like,
yeah, here we go. Okay, yeah. So, like, basically, she's saying, I don't want to just roll over and just, like, I don't want to be your puppet. I don't want to do everything that you say. And he's basically like, well, you better get used to it because that's what a vice president does. So, you know, that right then I was like, whoa, maybe Jackie doesn't even want to be vice president. Maybe she does want to be Secretary of Defense because, you know, then she would be she might, maybe it would be, she'd be able to follow her kind of dream a little bit since she does have like her army background and everything. So like, maybe that is more up her alley, and maybe she doesn't just want to like be anyway. After that fight, I knew something was up, and I, I mean, I wasn't sure if she was going to decide to just drop the, you know, I wasn't sure what she was going to do.
Okay.
But I knew that it wasn't going to be, you know, Jackie and Frank forever.
Yeah.
A-E-A-E-A-E.
And then when Remy came in, I knew something was on his mind, too, because he was coming in there to stick up for her. Mm-hmm. You know, he was saying that she has some valid points, and that's when Frank snapped again, too. And then Freddie gets in, and he's like, listen, don't, you know, sometimes you need to know your place.
What did you guys think of that, about Frank and Freddie? And, you know, it was interesting. Freddie was kind of like, you know, when I was working at the rib joint, and I was just, if I got tired of listening to him talk, I would just go into the kitchen. It's like, sometimes you feel like Freddie doesn't even like Frank at all.
Oh, so I get that feeling too sometimes.
I've gotten that feeling since I was introduced like forever, to Freddie. Forever. I feel like Freddie puts up with Frank. You could just see on his face, it's like, oh, this guy is here again. But, you know.
But he does understand him. He said, you know,
he totally understands
him. Remy comes in, guns blazing, and Freddie says, that's like getting mad at a snake for having fangs.
Yeah.
Right.
So that was really, really interesting. It's just crazy how defensive Remy is over Jackie. This whole thing is just dragged on and on and on.
You're over it.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell. I don't know.
I know. I feel like every single episode, I'm just like, yeah, what's going on with Remy and Jackie? Still in love and not together?
Still in love and not together, and she's married.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to episode 12, shall we?
Yeah, let's
see
that.
So,
how about that iTunes?
Oh, right. Before we do that, please, if you're listening to us on iTunes, please comment and rate us 5 stars, cinco, five stars on iTunes, please. We need it. We love it. And
we want it. Oh, baby.
And we want it so badly. moving on to episode 12. Also, if you're watching us on YouTube, please like this video, comment below, subscribe, do all that good stuff. Okay.
Retweet
our tweets, all of that. Social
that
media is
something
awesome.
Something cool about this episode, it was directed by Robin Wright.
Was it? I didn't know that.
Man, I love her so much.
She's just the multi-talented girl.
And
huh?
It was
Woman,
written by
Bo
Willimon, so that's, I mean, he's the creator of the show, so.
Wow, that's awesome.
We got a good little team happening
here. What did you think of her directing?
I mean, honestly, I didn't even know until after the episode was directed by her, so I wish I had known going into it.
Right.
So that way I kind
so you
of
could
like,
pay attention a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, pay attention a little bit better, but I thought it was a good episode, so that's good.
So, standout moments from this episode?
Let me think.
Anything that comes to mind? Anything that you feel really gut-wrenched you?
Frank's?
Oh, I mean, it was crazy when they met the same place where that Petrov... And that was
awesome.
My standout moment, was the meeting with Dunbar and Frank in the stairwell.
I loved Frank's responses to Dunbar in this episode. Mm. One is after that scene when she leaves and he looks into the camera and he's like, you can mess with me all you want, but if you mess with Claire, I will slit your effing throat or whatever.
In broad daylight. Mm-hmm. I was like, yes! And I thought it was really interesting. Right after he says that, he walks back out and you can see the cigar burn from Petra.
And he looks at it
because, you know, because Frank has been taking crap all season, and he's so sick of it. Literally, like, he has not been this like manipulative mastermind that we saw in season 1 and season 2.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I think everything about season 3 is about taking off the mask, and, you know, like, what, you know, the veneer is starting to chip, and we're humanizing everybody.
Yeah.
You know, that's really what this whole season is about, which I think is why I've been so fussy about the whole thing, because, you know, it's not this like little chess game that we've kind of come to know and love, and we don't have all these behind-the-scenes manipulations happening. You know, it's really... Frank has been so reactionary instead of, you know, kind of proactive and, and kind of in charge.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, he's kind of looked at that burn, and he's just, like, so sick of it.
My standout moment was at the very end of this episode. I was gonna jump ahead.
Oh,
sorry.
Have you seen the finale?
Have you seen the finale?
I have seen the finale.
Maybe.
You haven't seen it?
No.
I know. We were talking about it.
You can't do a show when you already know what's gonna happen. It's cheating.
We were talking about it before. That's why. That's like. And also, we shouldn't discuss it beforehand.
Yeah, I may have peeked a little bit. I didn't really like watch all
cheaters. These cheaters.
Sorry, it's such a good show. You can't just watch. I mean, I tried all season long. I've been good, and so
yeah,
you know.
You have been really good. No, right. But yeah, you're right. It is hard to kind of separate what happens and what. So let's not go there. What I thought was interesting was Frank's hair was grayer.
So a time jump, right? It was a time jump.
A total time jump.
I believe so. Yeah.
Either that, or he did that on purpose.
Okay. Well, I can't tell because they're talking at the very start of this episode where it's on TV, and then we have a reporter talking, and she's talking about how close the election is. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, which election are we talking about? We're not talking about, I mean, we haven't even chosen our Democratic nominee mm-hmm. yet. So I just thought that came up really, really fast.
Well, somebody mentions, I think Stamper says something like, oh, later on, he's like, I've been sober for 87 days.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So we know at least 3 months almost has gone by. But still, all that gray in 3 months.
You know, Barack Obama went gray really fast when he was in office, too.
Hey, that's true.
It's a high-pressure job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I don't blame anyone for having those changes in their body, because mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know that I would be able, I definitely know that I would not be, would make a good president. Absolutely not. I wouldn't want that much responsibility.
This is too much responsibility.
Yeah, this is a lot for me. I can't handle it.
So Dunbar meets with Chief Justice Robert.
Yes.
And he says something interesting. He's like, I'm going to step down, but only if you take my place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she's like, do you not know that I'm running for president? Like, what are you crazy?
I know.
But he wants her to fill the spot.
And I think that there's still, I mean, like, I think that, like I was saying earlier, you know, now that it's so close, she can taste it, she really, really, really doesn't want to give up, because mm-hmm. she was saying to him, like, I'm supposed to do this. Like, she feels like 100% that she's supposed to be the next president. But I think there's still a part of her that really thinks that she could do really great work as a Supreme Court justice.
Well, like I said before, once you get a little taste of what it could be like to have that much power, it is so hard to turn that off and to gain perspective, the right perspective. Because I don't know that for her, the perspective that she has is the right one. I think I would vote for her. I think she has a lot of great ideas. I'll vote for her. I'm sorry. but I think it's, you know, the power. My point is that the taste of power definitely influences that.
Absolutely,
A lot, for sure. So let's talk about Mr. Stamper.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
okay.
Really cool stuff with Doug. And this, I think, when I was talking about resolutions, mm-hmm. this is what I meant.
Okay.
Because all season long, we've kind of been, like, watching Doug weigh his options. We've been watching his ups and his downs and everything mm-hmm. like that. And just kind of wondering where, you know, when his, you know, where his chips were going to fall. Mm-hmm. And I'm pumped about it.
Yeah.
I was always questioning throughout the whole season, is he working for Frank or is he working for Dunbar? Like, what is going on?
Really?
I didn't trust it. I mean, there were some points with that journal. I couldn't trust that he was not.
I remember the second Dunbar announced, you know, Doug went to go ask her for a job. And I think, you know, all of us were kind of just like, in whose favor is this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we weren't really, really sure, you know, where, you know, kind of what his MO was. And I think that, you know, it was always going to be Frank.
Ultimately, I mean, that's Frank is the guy who that's his dude. You know, that's his guy. So I'm not surprised. I'm happy actually that he's in Frank's corner, mm-hmm. just because it's so juicy and great. But I did lean more towards that assumption that he would ultimately go back to Frank.
It was a bold move, though, for him to make.
Yeah. I mean, through a Hail Mary.
Right, because who's to say that Frank would even believe him or trust him now, you know?
No, and that's true. And also, I was wondering a little bit because, you know, Seth had asked for the job. Mm-hmm. And right away, I said, that could be good for two reasons. One, he's always been on Frank's side. Mm-hmm. He hasn't been wavering like Remy has. Two, he was right when he was saying that media perception at this point in the campaign is huge, and he's the media guy. So mm-hmm. I think that was both those things. I was like, actually, Seth would have been an all right choice for the job.
He would've. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they gave it to Doug, and like there was a scene between Doug and Seth where Doug is like, I don't want you to, you know, have any hard feelings mm-hmm. or whatever like that. And I was like a little bit nervous that Seth might, you know, come back and, you know, I don't know, do something out of spite.
I was convinced
I trust
he was.
Seth.
Really?
I trust Seth.
Yeah. You do?
You guys don't trust Seth?
I don't know.
Him, but we just we only see him like so. I mean, we don't see his like. We haven't seen him really as a full character so much.
And the moments in which we've seen him, they haven't really been too convincing of his loyalty or his... I don't know,
really?
I think that's how it read to me.
Yeah, besides, like, the threesome, I think the way Meacham was last year is kind of, like, what Seth has been this year. Because we have seen... Meacham has had, like, three lines.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like some staffer. Like,
maybe it's just... It's our perspective. Maybe we haven't seen enough of him, but I wasn't too convinced... I don't know. I just, there was, maybe I'm just cynical because it's House of Cards and I don't trust anybody, but.
I guess I just thought it was weird that they would have made a moment out of Seth asking for the job if that wasn't going to eventually lead somewhere. Maybe I'm just reading too much into it. So let's move on.
So moving on.
Okay, what are we talking about?
So
Stamper, did we talk about the journal, how he brings it up?
Yeah, I wanted to touch on that a little bit. This journal that he kept, threw me for a loop, because, again...
He kept it for so long, in case he needs to use it, to prove his devotion to Frank. I mean, wow.
All right, if that's what he's saying, sure. Why not? Sure, I'll believe it.
No, I don't think you think that.
No, I mean, like, that. If that's what he's going to say, then I don't think it really matters what his intentions are, because that's what they are now, so it doesn't really...
Do we think that Dunbar, knowing what's in that journal, would use it at all, or just... She doesn't have
I just
the
don't
proof,
know how
so she
could.
Won't bring it up.
I don't know how she could. And also, that was information that she doesn't want to really, she never really wanted to use anyway.
Desperate times come.
I know. It's interesting that, like, they really, she had all these people doing all this background work on Claire, and it was spotless. They couldn't find anything. And the UN stuff had, it was old news. They couldn't use that anymore.
Yeah. Do you think she is concerned about how to leak that information? About Claire?
How could she now? She doesn't have any proof.
She doesn't have it.
Yeah.
And I think all of the affiliated parties have been silenced sufficiently.
Okay.
But I loved when Stamper calls Dunbar, and he's like, the president has a message for you.
Somebody wants to talk to you.
So cold.
Yeah. And he's like, one thing to think.
F yourself.
So cold.
Which, by the way, I kept seeing on Tumblr over and over and over again.
Like a GIF?
Yeah, a GIF. And I kept being like, when is this coming up? I gotta see this part.
Is it GIF or GIF?
I don't know. I say GIF.
It is GIF.
Is it GIF?
I'm gonna keep saying GIF.
Comment below. Please spell it
GIF
phonetically. GIF or GIF.
Like peanut butter?
Yeah, you would think GIF. Okay, guys, we're going.
Off topic as we do. I was very surprised by that. I think I don't know. I think he might still use it for some reason. Like, if he kept it for so long up until this point, why wouldn't he use that information? I don't know exactly how it could benefit him yet. Perhaps we'll see in next season.
Yeah.
But
I just thought when Frank called Claire and she was in the car and he said that Stamper has this journal and that it's, it could be leaked. The way that it affected Claire.
Oh, I know.
This is the biggest secret she's held on to and worked so hard to cover last season. And you see her shaking and breathing heavily.
But interesting that, it was resolved at the end of the episode,
Right.
Yeah, and then when he goes to tell her, I'm going to make Stamper my chief of staff, she loses her marbles.
Yeah, she's like, why would you do that? Interesting just about Dunbar releasing the information. The interesting thing about that is because, like, they've made... These past two episodes, they have been making it very clear that the public loves Claire. They are just like shoving that down our little throats.
Yeah.
So, at this point, with the information, does it matter? I mean, maybe the fact that she tried to cover it up.
It could matter. Exactly. It could matter. The fact that she tried to cover it up could be seen as obviously disingenuous. And I don't know that that's... People don't want to feel as though they're lied to.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it could, absolutely. I think there's still risk of that affecting a lot of things.
What did you guys think about this weird interaction between Claire and this housewife, Susie?
Yeah, she's, I forget the actress's name, but she's from The Following. I did not expect
so
her
bizarre.
To...
Yeah. I couldn't really wrap my head around this conversation, I'm going to be honest. This woman being so candid about her and her husband's extramarital affairs.
Yeah, while she's breastfeeding.
Domestic abuse. Breastfeeding in front of Claire, which I think was, like, kind of the start of, like, being very, oversharing, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
So I just thought that that was like, it felt so weird that this woman would say all this stuff to her.
I didn't think it was that weird.
You didn't?
I think given what that woman has gone through and what she's currently going through, I mean, she doesn't seem to have the best situation. She's struggling. Let's call a spade. So I think...
For some reason, that scene took me out, and okay. I just don't know why.
I thought it was... I understood why she was so open. I also was still surprised by it, mm-hmm. that someone could be that open.
So candid.
Especially with the first lady, who's in your living room. Like, if the first lady, regardless of how you feel about her husband's politics, is in your living room, I would think you'd be a little starstruck.
Yeah, you'd be like, can I get you something to drink? Oh my God, I wouldn't like whip my
titties out and like having a breastfeeding
parallels between the two women, though. She said that her husband goes by Jim, but she likes to call him James. Just like Frank and Francis.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Little things like that. I think we were just kind of supposed to kind of see the every woman in Claire there a little bit.
Mm.
Like, well, I talk about humanizing our characters.
Humanizing,
right.
Yeah.
Just keep seeming to do that.
For sure. Yeah, well, I mean, it's important for them to do that, and I'm happy that they're doing that, because for a long time, I couldn't connect with a lot of these characters, specifically Claire. So I'm glad that they're doing that now, or that they have done that throughout the course of this season. Kudos to them for that. So.
I actually felt that most with Remy. I couldn't really connect with Remy so much because he was so cold and like he always seemed pissed off. I just was like, didn't really get him. So I think I like Remy so much more this season than I liked him.
Oh my God, can we talk about that real quick? So Jackie goes to his house.
I know.
Oh yeah.
And he shuts her down like, no, you need to move on. You're married. And then she goes through the door.
Well, he says that he's like, I'm done with politics. And she's like, how can you just quit like that? You know what I mean? She just, like, she admires him so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because after that, they're not going to be working together anymore. So if will they ever see each other again, you know? But, yeah, he did not stick to his word, and they ended up hooking up.
Yeah, that's true.
I wrote on my notes, I'm like, and.
I wrote, then Jemmy happened.
Jemmy. Yes.
Hashtag Jemmy, guys.
I was really impressed with Claire pulling the trigger with regards to her the dissolution of her marriage. I honestly did not think that she would go that route. See, this is why I can't see. We're talking about the finale now. Oh well. Whatever.
Anyway, we can talk about... I just want to talk about Tom.
Happened. Whatever. Moving on.
So, hashtag spoiler alert, and you guys are jerks.
Spoiler alert on a Netflix show that people have watched.
I'm trying to do this the only way I know how.
She's so cute. Okay, can we talk about Tom Yates and his one chapter of this book?
Yeah.
Okay.
One chapter, yes. One supposed to be solitary chapter.
Amworks, and he talks about the marriage instead, and Frank is not happy.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, he's like, this is where the story is. It's not with Amworks.
Yeah, but Claire reads it and isn't.
And she seemed flattered.
Okay about it, you know? It's kind of depicting the truth of what has happened to her marriage.
Yeah, I mean, she has been living in, and she's been resentful of all these things that she has been resentful of, and so I can see why that would elate her and make her feel happy that happened. For
I was wondering
sure
what was going on with Tom was like sick and confused. Mm-hmm. He was like in like a kind of like bodega kind of thing, and he's like getting an orange juice.
Yeah,
and he's like, "What am I doing here?" And I was like, "What is he just tired or is he?" I don't know.
I mean, he's been fired. I don't know.
He's just mentally strained.
He's done.
Yeah.
And then him and Kate.
Yeah, he was trying to get her to write an article exposing the fact that Frank was trying to suppress this chapter. And she was like, I can't do that. It's a conflict of interest.
Yeah.
And besides, he would skewer you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's so interesting how obvious those things are, but how much it goes over their heads. Which, you know, I don't know that it's weird to me that that's a thing.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I mean,
am I reading too much into it, or is it just
no?
Is that like so? That's something that stands out for me.
It was interesting because I mean, Kate, I mean, even Kate, who doesn't like Frank, is siding with Frank about this book, which is interesting. She also doesn't think it's the way to go. She's like, if I was him, I would never let you publish this, ever.
I also thought it was interesting during the press conference how he obviously doesn't like calling on Kate because she always grills him, but they bring up the fact that that Navy SEAL died in the covert mission, and
because Frank had written that letter that he had died in a training mission,
right? And she had confirmed that there were no training missions, so she's definitely on to him. She is always been on to him.
Yeah.
She's always called everything that he's been doing, and it's just funny how he deflects it. He's just like, never will let the truth out.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also impressive how he's able to deflect that and not be affected by the great job that she's doing as a journalist, because that's what I feel like journalists should be doing. That's really impressive to me. Any other standout moments for this episode?
No, I think. Did we cover it all? Gosh.
But we saw Claire standing in front of the fridge, which we haven't seen in a while.
Oh, she's feeling hot.
Yeah. Feeling a little warm.
Oh, at the end, she goes in and says, Frank, we've been lying to each other, and it just ends right there.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Cliffhangers.
I know. It's kind of saying finally out loud what we've all been thinking the whole season, pretty much.
One episode left, you guys.
I know.
And it's a big episode. I'm sorry, I had to say it. It's a really good episode. I won't say anything else because you're going to kill me.
What's the point of all of this?
What is the point of
one
life?
One episode left.
Listen, you
all
guys.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
For watching and for commenting and for doing all of the things that you do. All of that keeps the lights on here. We super appreciate it. And until next time, we want to thank you for all that. And we'll see you next time. Thank you. I'm very thankful.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.